Okay, Chairman, we're ready to go.
Okay, thank you. The Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk.
Hello.
Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Tillery? Oh, he's out today. I apologize. Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Yes, John.
Mr. Reggio? Roy is here. Yep. Hi, Roy. Yeah, Mr. Blount?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, here.
Mr. Heydaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
Mr. Ellie?
Here.
Chairman Cahill?
Here. Looks like PCTV has provided us with a flag on your screen. If you want to salute that, yeah. Or you could salute the one behind me.
The flag, the United States of America.
And to the Republic, yes. For which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, liberty, justice, for all.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to our agenda?
Yes, there are four changes. The application of Carlos Arroyo, 38 Murray Avenue, is adjourned. They will schedule a new date. No date is scheduled at this time, and they will have to notice. The application of Martha Sanders, postponed until August 10th, 2023, with further notice. The application of 100 Lakeview Rear, postponed until August 10th, with no further notice. And finally, LNR Properties, adjourned until August 10th, 2023, they must notice. All the changes I have.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to have the adoption of the resolutions from the regular meeting of June 8th, 2023.
Certainly. The first resolution is high test five. This resolution was approved.
Jim, we can't hear you.
Mr. Weissman?
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yeah.
Mr. Ali?
Here. Yes.
Mr. Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Alpesh Patel. This application was approved. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Last resolution, Beth Bellardo. This application was approved. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have.
We'll move to item number 16, which is the adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of June 8th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, aye. Let's start off with item number 5, 23-ZB-59B, Charlene Jones.
Is Charlene Jones present?
Yes.
Ms. Jones, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Can we have your name and address, please? You can put your hand down.
Charlene Jones, 259 Grant Avenue.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Yes, I'm seeking a bulk variance for the required variances 21501, 21617, and 21619.1 regarding setback.
Mr. Henderson, do you have any comments about this? Are you muted, Henry?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, most of the variances that are being requested were either previously approved or pre-existing. The only variance that I believe is not, it may be the one rear yard variance, which is a result of the addition. But in this particular case, it's a corner property, so there's two front yards, and it's really a technicality in the sense that the rear yard is considered opposite the shortest frontage. So in this particular setup, it's really the side of a property, but it's considered her rear yard due to the fact that it's opposite the shorter of the frontages on the corner property. So there's no issues with that. The only recommendation is, again, is an 8-foot permanent easement for municipal purposes. along Peabody Street. That's to accommodate the wider road and sidewalk that exists there. Currently today, the sidewalk's actually outside of the right-of-way on the property of Mrs. Jones. So we'd like to get that in the easement so the township has the ability to maintain it if it ever was to be replaced.
Got it. Is that okay with you, Ms. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Anyone else on the board have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
If anyone has questions, you have to raise your hand. No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Jones, your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and send that document to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Have a good night, ma'am.
And members.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Let's move on to item number six, which is 23-ZB-32V, Elizabeth George.
Is Elizabeth George present?
Her daughter, Sasha Jorge, is present here for her.
Ms. Jorge, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, put your hand down and give us your name and address and tell us what this is about.
My name is Sasha Jorge, address 37 Murray Avenue. We did a variance for a shed that we would like to place in our backyard.
Okay, simple enough. Henry, any comments or questions?
No, again, this is another, this is an undersized lot. And again, the shed being requested is very modest in nature, 7x7. I don't see any issues with the request for the coverage, the minimal coverage variance is being requested. Again, it's due to the undersized lot. Again, the only request would be is a 5-foot temporary construction easement along Murray Avenue for possible future road improvements that may take place along Murray. So the applicant doesn't have any issues with that 5-foot temporary construction easement. I don't see any issues with this application.
Okay. Ms. Jorge, you're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
A second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Jorge, your application's been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and mail that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night, ma'am.
Okay, have a good night.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are we on item number 10?
Yes.
23-ZB-60V, Trans Steel Incorporated.
Continental.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Kevin Morse, Woodbridge, New Jersey. I'm appearing this evening on behalf of Transcontinental Steel Incorporated. The subject property is block 805, lot 31, commonly known as 201 11th Street in Piscataway. And we are before you this evening seeking approval of a temporary use permit for the use of the property by my client's business, which is a steel fabrication business. By way of some very brief background, and as the board may be aware, this property was previously utilized for many, many years by a company called Binsky & Snyder that did metal piping fabrication at the site with outdoor storage. The fabrication use itself is permitted in the LI zone. Outdoor storage probably isn't. And as it's been determined, there's no actual formal site plan approval there. Binsky & Snyder recently ceased operations, and my client, whose business operation is almost identical, very similar to Binsky & Snyder, is seeking to utilize the property. And you will hear testimony from the applicant's owner with regard to that. Before we proceed, I just wanted to confirm that my affidavits of mailing and publication, which I previously submitted, have been received, that they're in order so that the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
They were received and they are in order. The board has jurisdiction.
All right, then I would call Mr. Joel Rosenthal as my witness, if he could be sworn, please.
Mr. Rosenthal, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Rosenthal, you are the owner of the applicant Transcontinental Steel Incorporated, correct?
Yes.
And the applicant is in the business of steel fabrication, is that right?
Correct.
Now, I understand that you have been in business operations as a steel fabricator since 1999. Is that accurate?
Correct.
And I understand that you have been conducting those business operations at a property located in Newark, New Jersey during that time. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Now, I understand that you have been seeking to relocate that business out of a city environment, and that in the pursuit of that relocation, you have located the subject property, which I know from your perspective, for all intents and purposes, is really turnkey for you to move your business into and continue the light industrial use of the property. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So very briefly for the board, can you just describe, you know, what is your steel fabrication business? What do you produce?
We fabricate steel for buildings. Basically, I try to explain it as if you go to Home Depot and you buy a 2x4 and you cut it to size, we do the same thing with steel so it fits into buildings. So okay, basically, now, we're just cutting and putting holes into steel.
All right. Now, the steel fabrication, that operation, your production, that will be conducted entirely indoors within the existing building at the subject property. Is that correct?
Correct.
And I understand there's also an outdoor storage component that will be either for material to use for production or for finished fabricated product. Is that also correct?
Correct.
Now, the outdoor storage, from what I understand, will be located on the property in the area that we marked out on a rudimentary survey, really to that one right side of the building, all the way till we get to the property line. And at that property line, there's trees and vegetation, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, with regard to the storage itself, I understand that it is predominantly on storage racking. Is that correct?
Yes.
With some product on wood blocking on the ground itself, correct?
Correct.
And I understand the height of the racking is approximately 10 feet. You don't intend on exceeding that. Is that also correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, in terms of business operations, it's my understanding that you conduct operations Monday through Friday between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. and then on Saturdays 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Is that accurate?
Correct.
All right. Now, I also understand that when you're conducting operations, there will be approximately 40 employees at the property or on site at any one time during business operations. Is that right?
Yes.
25 of which the breakdown would be in the shop area of the building. Is that right?
Correct.
And then the other 15 in what will be an office area inside the building.
Yes.
And that number may vary a little bit day from day, depending on production, correct?
Correct.
But 40 is kind of the max, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, based upon the number of employees you have and the property itself, is there sufficient area on this property to provide for adequate on-site parking of your employees' vehicles, which I understand will be either personal vehicles, cars, automobiles, as well as work pickup trucks?
Yes.
All right. Now, with regard to deliveries at the site, I understand that on average you get one steel trailer delivery per day for material. Is that correct?
On average, yes.
Okay. And that outbound, actually two steel trailers per week. Is that also correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, being in the business for, I guess, over 25 years, reviewing the subject property in the surrounding neighborhood, I understand you have the opinion, and this is your new home, that your business operation is not going to cause any type of disruption or nuisances for the surrounding neighborhood. Is that accurate?
Correct.
And you're pretty much doing, you know, very similar to what's been going on there for, I guess, almost over 20 years, certainly by Binsky and Snyder, correct?
Yes.
Right. Now, the board professionals generated two review memos. One was generated by Mr. Chadwick. It's dated June 16th, 2023. In reviewing that, there's a request by Mr. Chadwick That should the board look favorably upon approving our temporary use permit, that we agree to submit a site plan and use variance application within 90 days of such granting. Now, I know we've talked about that, and I know, and I can represent to the board that you have preliminarily met with AJV Engineering, Mr. Angelo Vallotuto, and you intend on engaging his services because you do fully intend to move forward and file a formal site plan use and any bulk variance application with the board. Is that correct?
Correct, and I've already retained him.
Okay, now with regard to the 90-day time frame, and I throw this out to the board and for its consideration, obviously we do intend on moving forward. We are going to ask that you consider giving us a 120-day time frame to file the application for two reasons. Number one, the site plan's got to get generated by the engineer, and it just takes time to put that together. And the second thing, after speaking to Mr. Rosenthal, it'll give us a little time to get settled into the building, start conducting operations so that we can determine whether there might be items that we're not thinking of now that might need to be part of that site plan application. So we're certainly agreeing that we're going to submit it, and we'd ask you considering just giving us 120 days for that reason. With regard to the second memo, which is generated by Piscataway Township Division.
Maybe I could respond to that. I have no issue with that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, John.
I have no issues with that request.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Second, there's a review memo issued by Piscataway Township Division of Engineering Planning Development. That's dated June 20th. We have had the opportunity to look at that, and I believe through Mr. Rosenthal's testimony, we have covered all the items that were requested in that memo, unless there are questions with regard to the business operation.
Henry, is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. My only question would be is, again, I was just trying to get a little bit more information regarding the type of steel. So are we talking steel I-beams for actual, you know, constructing of, you know, large buildings, or is it more on the small scale steel?
We are, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. So we're renovation, I don't want to say experts. So we do a lot of small stuff. We do a lot of rails at the airports and stairs. We do beams. Sorry, I'm getting echoey. We do not do 50-story buildings. We might put a story on top of a building, but we're not doing, you know, beams that are entire trailer lengths. You know, or take up one trailer, that kind of thing. You know, we're not doing bridges. We're not doing, again, we're not doing large highways. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other comment.
Sure, John.
I suggested that they be under the performance standards, which is ongoing, but because of the nature of this, they've already stated that all the operation is indoors, but I think you should put it in the resolution.
It will be.
All right. And I just, in closing it up, I just wanted the board to be aware that when we filed this application a couple of weeks ago, Transcontinental Steel, they weren't the owner of the property. But since the application was filed, I can tell you that Mr. Rosenthal, through a real estate holding company, actually closed on the property, purchased it from Binsky and Snyder because he wanted to be conducting his business on property that he also owns. So he's the owner of the business, he's the owner of the property, which I always think is important. I understand, Mr. Rosenthal, that you went ahead and actually closed on the property because you are confident that this really is a perfect location for the continuation of your business and that you are looking forward to being a good business member of the Piscataway Township community. Is that correct, Joel?
Yes, sir.
All right, so that is the conclusion of our testimony. And we kindly request that you grant our request for a temporary use variance for 6 months in order that Mr. Rosenthal can move his business in and we can get a formal site plan together to come back and present to the board for further consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Morse. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve the application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Morris will memorialize this at our next meeting.
Great. Thank you very much, folks. Have a pleasant evening. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good night. Let's move on to item number 11, 23-ZB-54V, 33 Clausen Owner, LLC.
Yes, good evening. Stephen Tripp from the law firm of Wilentz Goldman and Spitzer on behalf of the applicant.
Go ahead, Mr. Tripp.
Well, this is an application. It's 33 Clausen Street. The applicant is 33 Clausen Owner, LLC. The property is about 1.7 acres in the LI zone, block 3401, lot 12.02. It's currently vacant. There were prior use variances granted in 2011, initially for a truck terminal, and then subsequently for the storage of buses. The applicant is working with the township right now to put the property in a redevelopment area, to add a couple of adjacent parcels, and to have it done as part of a redevelopment plan. The council has already, by resolution, sent it to the planning board to conduct an investigation for an area in need of redevelopment. What we're looking for is, in the interim, we have a tenant, and a principal of 33 Clausen will explain, a tenant who would like to use the property for the storage of empty trailers, which is consistent with the prior use variance as a truck terminal. It's located in an industrial area. We think it would be no impact, and it would at least provide for some use of the property in the interim while we move through the redevelopment process. So we're asking for a temporary use permit. We're not proposing any changes to the property. What I'd like to do is have Dan Haroon, the principal of 33 Clausen, just explain a little bit about what they're proposing and to address some of the comments in the reports.
Please proceed.
Can I have his name again, please?
Dan Haroon.
Dan Haroon, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dan, I don't see you. Where are you?
He's there.
Well, he's there. He's got his hand up.
I just flipped them over.
Yeah. Okay. Dan, can you tell us your position with 33 Clausen Owner?
Sure. Principal of the owner.
And when did you acquire the property?
November of last year.
And what's your ultimate intention for the property?
Ultimate intention is to conduct a truck parking facility on a few of the sites adjacent to and including this property.
You understand that the council has adopted a resolution sending it to the planning board?
Yes.
And in the interim, as I indicated, you have a tenant. Can you tell us who the tenant is and what the tenant would be doing on the site?
Sure. The tenant is Vital Transportation. They're a logistics company who has a facility at 100 New England Avenue, about 2.5 miles down the road, down Possum Town Road. So the use of the site will really just be storage of trailers while they're, you know, kind of staging for their main operation. As Steve mentioned, the site already has a use variance for this use. So this would really just be a continuation of the use variance use here.
Before we continue, I got an email from from the court reporter that Nancy Ambrose, the reporter, is logged in but can't speak or be seen. So she just wanted the ability to...
I'll give her permission. When they come on as an attendee without a link, they're automatically in the public.
Oh, okay. This is Nancy Ambrose.
I got her.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dan, can you tell us also the proposed, some of the operational details in terms of the hours of operation, what they intend?
Sure. Sure. Hours of operation here will be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. No more than 38 trailers on site at any given time, and no repair and maintenance activities on site.
And these are going to be empty trailers, correct?
Yes.
And there'll be no storage of anything other than these trailers on site, correct?
Correct.
And the only trailers that will be on the property will be the tenants' trailers, correct? You're not letting correct. Other people use the site for parking. It's going to purely be for the one tenant?
Correct.
And your intent is to utilize this until you get through the redevelopment process and end up with a hopefully a larger redevelopment lot, and then you would develop that according to proper procedures.
Correct.
I don't have any other questions of this witness.
Does anyone have any questions? Oh, Henry, would you have any comments or questions on this?
No, I believe the applicant has satisfactorily answered the questions that I had regarding the use and the fact that he's not going to, it's going to be strictly 38 max empty trailers, that there's going to be no repairs or maintenance of the trailers or any vehicles on the site, no sublease, no other commercial parking of any kind for any other businesses or storage of boats, things of that nature. I think that that the request is acceptable.
Okay, thank you. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to Mr. Tripp. I'm ready. I think we can proceed with this if you've wrapped it up.
Yeah, I just had one other question. In Mr. Hinterstein's report, he mentioned county approval. I don't think we need anything from the county at this point because we're not doing anything to the site. So I don't really think we need a county any letter from the county. That was my only comment on that. And I think we addressed everything in Mr. Chadwick's report as well.
One item, I know you're in need of redevelopment, but some site cleanup in the interim might be worthwhile.
Dan, do you have any?
Yeah, we just did some site cleanup very recently on our property. So we got rid of all the prior owners' debris and cleaned up the site a little bit. We got rid of some of the dead landscaping. We did a fair bit of cleanup there, at the town's request.
That was quite recent then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John. Mr. Tripp?
I don't have anything further.
Perfect.
What's the time frame as far as coming back to the board? I know, like you said, you're in a redevelopment in the NEED study right now, but it could take some time for that redevelopment plan and some of the other moving parts to take place. Are we looking at, 4 months, 6 months with the, you could come back at that point and ask for an extension?
Yeah, I mean, normally to get, it could take six months. Or so to get, the study has to get done, then the redevelopment plan has to get adopted, then we're designated the redeveloper, you do a redevelopment agreement, and then once you have that in place, you go to the planning board, because presumably the redevelopment plan will create an as-of-right for what we're proposing. So we would expect to have that done and then end up before the planning board. That would be the intent. If obviously something that doesn't go according to that plan, we would be back to this board if need be. So, I think maybe, I don't know if it's within your normal procedures, but maybe a 9-month period as opposed to 6 months, given the fact that it's redevelopment.
Your problem with that is it's the ordinance allows 6 months.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll take six, and then we'll come back if we have a problem.
Okay, yep. Sounds good. At this point, any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Public portion is closed. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Tripp, we will memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you very much.
And good night, gentlemen.
Everyone have a good evening.
You
have
too. Good night, Steve. Let's move down to item number 12, 23-ZB-62V, New York, SYMSA, Verizon Wireless.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Edward Purcell. I'm attorney at Price, Meese, Shulman, and Yerminio, here tonight on behalf of Verizon Wireless. This application has to do with block 6003, lot 12.01, more commonly known as 377 Hose Lane. This is a request for interpretation, an appeal of the zoning permit determination. As you all may remember, we've had this discussion before. This is an application that's subject to section 6409A of the Federal Spectrum Act and the New Jersey Collocation Law, which says when you're not making a substantial change of an existing wireless base station, then that application for collocation is a right and can be done by administrative approval. So in this particular situation, Verizon is proposing to replace two antennas and remove one remote radio head with four new remote radio heads on the building on the base station located on the subject property. And we are requesting that the board interpret the applicable federal laws, state laws, local ordinances to permit and direct the zoning officer to issue administrative approvals with respect to this application.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed the plans and they do conform to the limits for the applicable laws.
Awesome. And the applicant has submitted a structural letter saying that the structure can handle it and that the emissions will comply with the FCC requirements. Those are usually what we require on these applications.
Okay. Yeah, we've handled these a bunch of times in the past. It's an upgrade and almost a cookie cutter upgrade application. Henry, do you have any comments at all, or we're good?
We are good. John okay. covered it.
All right. Any other members of the board have any questions about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this particular application? Ms. Buckley? You're muted. I can read your lips. You said no one.
No one.
Okay. All right. Close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
Yes.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell, we'll memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Have a good evening, sir. At this point, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Steve Weissman. I live within 200 feet of the subject property for the next application, so I have to recuse myself. I hope everyone has a great evening. And once again, thank you for volunteering and doing this for the township.
Thank you, Chairman.
Have Hi, a good Chairman.
Night. Bye.
Mr. Vice Chairman, you're up.
Moving on to item 14, that's 23ZB31/33V, Colgate-Palmolive Corporation.
Mr. Galacio, present?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes,
good evening, Mr. Keneally. How are you? My name is Sandy Galacio. I'm an attorney with Wendell's, Marks, Lane, and Mittendorf on behalf of the applicant, Colgate-Palmolive Company. We are here with respect to the property owned by Colgate at 909 River Road, also known as Block 11701, Lot 16.05. It's a 79-acre property along River Road. We are here again. We were a couple of weeks ago on our application for phases 4 and 5 of Colgate's solar energy project. Colgate received approvals in 2019 for phases 1 through 3 of the project. And the application you will consider tonight is for phases 4 and 5, which propose installation of solar arrays, which are ground-based arrays over the visitor A and B parking lots and the W-wing surface parking lot. associated with, along with installation of associated electrical equipment, 24 vehicle, electric vehicle charging stations, and associated landscaping and electrical work. We are requesting conditional use of bulk variances and will present testimony in support of those. Following our meeting 2 weeks ago with the township, we went back and reviewed our plans and also met with Mr. Chadwick and Mr. Hinterstein at the site to review the layout of arrays in W-Wing parking lot. And you will see with the testimony of our engineer, Michael Thomas, we rearranged the arrays in the W-Wing parking lot to preserve the existing landscape screening at the edge of that lot, you know, which was a concern at the last meeting. We are going to re-present Mr. Thomas's testimony to reflect those changes and also provide testimony, you know, because Mr. Cahill recused himself tonight. We have submitted our application or affidavit of service to the board, which was accepted at the last meeting. Mr. Keneally provided notice of this meeting, and we're ready to present our witnesses.
You gonna call Mr. Thomas first?
Yes, sir. I was gonna call Michael Thomas, the engineer.
Mr. Thomas, you were sworn in to tell the truth at the last meeting. You remain sworn in to tell the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll try to go through this as thoroughly as I can or as quickly as I can. I apologize if some of the information about to present was repeated from the last hearing. So what we have up on the screen is an overall aerial of the project site with the proposed phase 4 and 5 solar arrays on it. Previously, this was marked as A1. I don't know if we would like to remark it again as A1 or...
Has it changed in any way?
It has not.
No, it does not need to be remarked.
Okay. So the purpose of this exhibit is just to give a, you know, really like a 10,000 foot, you know, elevation in the sky view of the project site. Again, the arrays that we're proposing are embedded within the project site. The existing conditions around the site are mostly vegetative in nature. River Road is to the south. To the west of the site is existing wooded vegetation, as well as to the north of the site. There are existing residences also to the east of the site. A little bit further to the south is the Raritan River, followed by the Delaware and Raritan Canal. So I'll move on to our next exhibit. So this exhibit has changed since the last hearing.
So I believe we will mark this exhibit.
Okay. And I believe, as I recall from my notes, we were on A10. Is that correct?
You know what? Why don't we go with B1?
B1. Got it. So the exhibit that's shown here is just a more zoomed in aerial view of what we were just looking at the project site. The intent is to give a little bit more specifics and detail for the proposed solar array. Just to give a quick synopsis of what was previously done, phases 1 through 3 were previously constructed on the project site. They're shown on the aerial here. I'm going to zoom into those just a little bit more so you guys can see that in a little bit more detail. So there was an existing parking structure that's on the site. We were previously approved to put solar on top of that parking structure. In addition to that, lots D and L, which is a surface parking lot, was approved for canopy solar arrays on top of that, as well as lots F and K as well. Kind of nestled in between the ground-mounted lots is the existing on-site helipad, And just to the north of that, there's an existing daycare center and substation for the Colgate-Palmolive facility. I'll zoom out a little bit more again. A few variances that we are requesting for this project. Again, similar to the last hearing that we provided, there's two D3 variances which we are requesting. Both of them arise from the conditional use of the project. Solar is a permitted use, but it's permitted conditionally. We are requesting variances from those conditions, from a couple of those conditions, which include the height of the ground array, which shall not exceed 10 feet, whereas we are proposing our tallest array has a maximum height of 28 feet. And then in addition to that, the presence of the array is located within the front yard of the project. So we have two arrays which we are proposing, which are located within the front yard of the building. Closest existing roadway is River Road. So I'll give some of the specifics about some of the bulk variances that we're requesting as well. So there's a few variances for those. The height of the solar structures that we are proposing shall not exceed or should have a maximum height of 10 feet. So we're requesting a variance for that. In addition to that, we're requesting a variance for solar structures that shall not be essentially crossing a drive aisle. So no structures that would run across a proposed or existing drive aisle. Our two arrays, which are closest in the front yard, are spanning the drive aisle under proposed conditions. The accessory height of the structure, so these solar arrays are considered to be accessory structures. The ordinance has a requirement that no accessory structure shall be taller than 25 feet. The height of our tallest array, as mentioned earlier, is going to be 20 foot tall maximum. And then in addition to that, we're requesting a variance from NJSA section 40:55D-70D3, which is requesting a variance for the conditional use standards that I had mentioned earlier. So I'll give a quick overview of what changed from our current design versus our last.
Mike, this is Sandy. Can I just jump in for a second? I think you mentioned that the maximum height would be 20 feet. I think you meant to say 28 feet with respect to the accessory height variance.
That's correct. Yeah, and I apologize if I said 20 feet. 28 feet is the correct answer.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. So there was no change in the configuration for the two arrays, which are located in the front yard. Generally speaking, those have stayed exactly the same as it was under the prior submission that we made to the township. The major change that we made on this in the last few weeks was the W-wing lock, with the concern being removal of existing trees and buffer, which is closest to the existing residences, which are more closely located. And I'll hop back here just for a quick second, if you just bear with me a second. Most closely located near Waldhaven Court and Orchard Road. That's to the west of the project site. There is an existing pipeline easement, which is located also to the east of the W-wing lot. Our proposed arrays are going to be located outside that, even though a portion of that pipeline easement is running through the Colgate-Palmolive property. The general intent here was not to remove trees that were alive and healthy along the buffer. There are obviously are some concerns on our end with regard to shading of the proposed arrays that we have on site. What we essentially did was we took the arrays that were closest to where the residences were, and we relocated them further to the west, which are now running adjacent to the existing ring road of this. So it's more or less where my hand is hovering around right now on the screen. And the central arrays that we had proposed within the, I'll call it interior parking spaces of the lot, those are in the same place that they were before. And then the two winged arrays, we actually have now a new proposed array to the south side of the existing lot. And then the array that was located on the north side of the lot has remained unchanged. So as a result of those changes, there are some setback changes that resulted as well from the property line. So the side yard setback that we originally had from our original design, the array was 90.5 feet from at its closest point to the property line. We're now more than 150 feet away from the property line, 151.2 feet to be precise. And then in addition to that, with regard to tree removal on the site, we are providing much, much fewer trees to be removed and with the attempt to preserve the buffer that's there. There are some trees along that existing buffer, which we are calling out to be removed. Those trees are primarily dead. We had a field meeting with Mr. Hinterstein to discuss if we could remove those trees because they're no longer alive. Generally speaking, we had agreement that those trees can be taken down. But generally speaking, there was one I'll call it a live tree that we have called out to be removed. It was a tree again that was discussed as we were in the field because it had the greatest shading impact on the arrays. So, but all in all, the buffer is by and large maintained. We are proposing some additional plantings along that buffer as well to supplement, sort of fill in some of the holes and the gaps that are located within the area. And those are located primarily behind the W wing lot. There's three of them that are closest, I'll call it, towards Orchard Road. And then there's another a grouping of additional trees, which we are proposing on the most southerly array of the existing lot. So these, in total, there are 10 arrays that we are proposing here. They're all the same size for the most part, with the exception of one array. So similar to the testimony that was provided before, the size of the arrays that we are proposing for arrays T1 through T10, and the one exception to that is going to be T9. For those arrays, the dimensions are going to be 93.5 feet long by 41.5 foot wide, with a maximum height of 25 feet. The one exception array is located on the more southerly end of the parking lot. That's array T9. That has dimensions of 58.9 feet by 41.5 foot wide, and 25 foot maximum height. So those are the sizes of the arrays in the W wing lot. And the other two arrays which we are proposing, again, this is a repeat of testimony that was provided before. However, array LS1, which is located in lot B of the existing facility, has dimensions of 187.1 by 95.4 wide and 28 foot tall. And then array LS2, which is located in lot, and I apologize, LS1 was the one that I just described, with the 187.1 by 95.4 by 28. And array LS2, which is located in lot B, that one is 155.9 by 95.4 wide and 28 foot tall. So again, testimony that was provided before is not changed with regard to the piles or column supports that are supporting these structures. These are circular concrete footings that we are proposing with steel columns that are driven into the ground. The approximate width of the concrete footings are going to have about a 3 foot diameter. The panels that we are proposing on the site range between 470 to 485 watts. Again, much more efficient panels than they were even 5 years ago. With regard to tree removal for these initial arrays, there are some existing trees which are located within the parking lot that we are calling out to be removed, either because they're directly conflicting with the arrays themselves, or they are just too close to where the proposed arrays will be installed. So in total, we are proposing to remove 81 trees throughout the project site, which is a reduction from our original number of 136 trees to be removed. That includes approximately 10 dead trees that we have counted on site. It's my understanding that there are other dead trees on the project site that could also be removed, and we're willing to work with the landscape architect to mark out and identify those dead trees and provide replacements as necessary. Generally speaking, we attempted to prepare a 2-to-1 tree replacement ratio, so two trees replaced for every one removed. So that includes 71 proposed trees on site, which is down from 117 proposed trees that we had in our initial submission. And then we're also proposing a fee in lieu of proposal for the remaining trees that we are proposing on site, which is 91 total trees versus 155 trees that we had included in our original application. So a total of 162 trees would be proposed versus the 81 that we are removing. All right, I'm going to move to a couple other exhibits if I can. The next exhibit on here, I'll call it as exhibit B2.
Yes.
Which is a revision to the exhibit that we previously provided, which I believe was A3. And this one shows some of the distances from the arrays to the nearby residences or in the front of the facility, as well as some photographs that were taken along River Road. So generally speaking, the closest distance that we have now in the W-wing lot for array T10 is, I'll zoom in just a touch so everybody can see this, is a little bit over 300 feet. So that's the distance to the closest residence. So that's a further distance away from our original design that we had provided. In addition, the array that is of the two arrays that are located in the front yard of the existing facility, the closest distance to the existing residence or the nearest residence is a little over 540 feet. As we zoom this out and look at the residences which are across from River Road, the closest distance that we are providing to the closest residence from the array is a little over 685 feet. And then as you move further, and that's located on the more easterly side of the front of the facility, and then as you approach to the west of the facility, the distances get quite a bit larger, upwards towards over 800 feet away to the nearest existing residence. All right, I'm going to show the next exhibit, which we have revised.
Those will be B3.
This one shows the W-wing lot a little bit more closely, if you will, to where some of the existing residences are in relation to the lot. And I'll zoom in a little bit so you guys can see the dimensions. So our closest distance from any array, as we approach the north side of the W-wing lot, is 194 feet to the existing residence. Some other ties distances get a little bit larger as you migrate down south. So it's upwards towards 390 feet, or more than 390 feet away from where the arrays are. So the distances are greater than in our original application from the arrays to the existing residences that are there. And again, much of the existing wood line as well as the existing buffer is being maintained from existing to proposed conditions. Right. And one more exhibit, which I'll mark out as B4.
Yes.
And again, this is a revision to a previously submitted, previously presented exhibit that we had. The purpose of this exhibit was to show some of the photographs from the existing parking lot looking outwards towards the buffer, which is to the east of the parking lot. And we wanted to show on here what that would look like with the trees that are to be removed that we had on there. Just to get an idea, most of the trees that we are removing within the parking lot are located on the ring road of the parking lot. There's some existing shade trees which run along that edge, and it's necessary to remove those trees so that they do not directly conflict with the canopy. So again, that's on the western side of the W wing lot. But again, by and large, very few trees are being removed on the easterly side. The ones that are being removed, most of them are dead that are there today. So again, if I zoom into some of these photographs that are here down at the bottom, you can get the point of view of what it looks like out there today. And again, there's existing healthy, I'll call them evergreen trees, which are going to be remaining. And then you could see some of the trees in the background are dead. And these photographs were taken, while leaves were down, but there were some of the trees again that we're proposing that are dead from there. But it gives a point of view though of the existing buffer that's there today. I'll just run through a few of the specifics on the project site. I'm going to show an exhibit if I could, which is a revision to our truck turning exhibit. This is part of the site plan package that was submitted before this hearing to the board. I don't know if you guys would like me to mark this or not, or if it needs to be marked.
It's part of the submitted package.
Yes.
It does not need to be separately marked.
Okay.
Mike, did you make any revisions to this?
Yep. So the two arrays, which are located in the front yard of the project, the truck turning exhibits have not changed. So those will remain the same. We did receive the original, more or less letter of no comment from the fire folks within the town that they're okay with those truck turning movements. I think we're still waiting on a response from them regarding any comments that they might have for the new configuration that we have made. But really, the only changes on this plan sheet are occurring on the W lot. And the purpose behind it shows where the new arrays are and validating that the fire truck can make the appropriate turning movements without clipping or running underneath any of the arrays that are there. It's important to note that the minimum elevation of all the arrays that we're proposing is 14 feet 5 inches. So again, that's that the intent behind that was to meet the NJDOT minimum height clearance specifications. So theoretically, the fire truck could run underneath the arrays, although we don't recommend it. The arrays will be designed with enough vertical clearance so that a larger truck can fit underneath them. Just a couple points of that I wanted to bring out. There are some additional pads that are being proposed on the site. We are connecting the electricity for our new project on the more northerly side of the project, which will eventually tie into the existing on-site substation, which is there. The electrical lines are generally going to be running in a south to north direction along the existing ring road, and then they're going to be tying up. And I'm going to switched, if I could, to the to our electrical plan, which was part of the revision set that we submitted back in, which shows the electrical line running in a, like I said, from a south and a north direction, really tying up to an existing manhole, which is there today. So the phase four portion of it is going to be tying in, the phase four portion of this project is going to be tying into to the existing utility manhole. In addition to that, the phase five portion of the site is going to be tying into a new 12x10 concrete vault, which is is intended to have a 5 kilovolt circuit breaker. Some other things about the site. There are some transformer pads, inverter pads, if you will, and transformer pads that are going to be located on the ground. So we have a couple of them, three of them proposed on the site. To the east side of arrays LS1 and LS2, which are located in the front of the site, there, we have a concrete pad which is being proposed there, 6x4 in size, and then on the more northerly side of the W wing lot, the most northerly array. So it's on the west side of the most northerly array. We are also proposing the same size electrical pad for that as well. All the pads that we are proposing will make some humming noise, which is typical for transformer pads. But all the pads that are proposed will meet the NJDEP noise criteria at the property line from where they are located, which is 65 dBA at least, or no more than 65 dBA during the daytime and no more than 50 dBA at nighttime. The arrays themselves are not designed to reflect sunlight. They're designed to absorb sunlight. There's no glint or glare that will really be designed for these arrays. They're intended to absorb the sunlight, so not reflect it back. It's generally true of most solar installations that are out there with regard to that issue. Just some housekeeping items on the project as well. We have made a submission to the Middlesex County Planning Board. They had reached out to us a couple weeks ago requesting an extension to their review. They just had too many projects on their plate at one time. So we granted that extension. So we're expecting to hear back from them, I think, by the end of this month. And we should know if there's any comments or if there's not any comments associated with the project. Talk a little bit about what the arrays are doing from the greenhouse gas reduction, if you will, on site. So this exhibit was presented at the last hearing as well. It hasn't changed since the last exhibit. I believe it was marked out as exhibit A7 from the last meeting. I'll zoom into it so you guys can see it a little bit better. So really what this is an exhibit to show the offsets for the new installations that are in phases 1, 2, and 3, which are shown here, what's highlighted on the screen right now. They have a cumulative offset of the existing listing building electricity of about 22%. When you add phases 4 and 5 to the mix, it takes the grand total of offset for the entire installation of a little bit over 34%. So the arrays that we're proposing on site in total, it's a little over 4,000 kilowatts, which if you calculate that, it ends up being on an annual basis, almost 5 million kilowatt hours is generated. So it's quite a bit. We did present during the last hearing as well some of the exhibits, and I'm trying to remember exactly which exhibit number this was, but it was presented last time. I'm thinking perhaps it was A5 or A, maybe A8. A8 maybe was the exhibit in the last hearing. But it just gives an idea of what we're talking about from a carbon offset that we're proposing. Again, the reconfiguration that we are proposing with this redesign has more or less the same output that we originally had proposed and presented to the board. So this offsets about 322 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. And then just to give a sense of like what that means compared to other things that we're all more familiar with, like gasoline powered passenger vehicles, it's equivalent to about 71.7 for over a period of 1 year. And then if you did the math, that equals about 826,000 miles for the passenger vehicles. And then some of the other ones, and again, we had discussed a few of these during the last hearing, but you know, some of the one that kind of hits home, at least on the, I think on the vegetation front, was the number of saplings that were, you know, that it would replace, if you will. And I'm actually trying to find that right now. I think it's on the next page here. So that's it's about 5,300 tree seedlings that grow for a period of 10 years. So that's what that's equivalent to for what the arrays are offsetting for this project. So and again, it's about 384 acres of existing forests in over a period of 1 year. So this exhibit hasn't changed. It's still the same numbers. The prior exhibit, which I believe was A7, again, has not changed. In summary, that is pretty much our presentation, or at least my presentation.
Mike, can you talk for 1 minute about the electric vehicle stations that are being installed?
Yes. So we did a parking facility, existing parking space assessment, if you will, as part of this project. Colgate-Palmolive wanted this anyway. You know, they would have probably done this whether this project was taking place or not. But we needed it on our end to find out how many existing parking spaces are on site so that we can determine how many electric vehicle charging stations need to be installed. There are already some existing electric vehicle charging stations on site, a lot of them being located within the existing parking garage. Under proposed conditions, we are providing 22 EV charging stations within the parking garage. And then in addition to that, 10 additional surface EV charging stations. Some of those are going to be handicap stations to meet the handicap ADA requirements. So it's a total of 32. Actually, I apologize. That's under existing conditions. So 22 spaces in the garage under existing conditions, 10 surface spaces under existing conditions, and under proposed conditions, it's also going to be 22 spaces within the existing garage and 34 parking spaces that are going to be EV spaces for surface parking spaces. So it's a total of 56 total proposed EV charging stations to meet the state of New Jersey requirement.
And you had an opportunity to review the staff comment letter from Mr. Hinterstein.
Yes.
Did you not? Like,
yes, I did.
Yes. And do you have any issues with anything in that letter?
No, I believe we have addressed most of the issues that are identified in that letter. Anything that has not been obtained yet will be obtained. So, for instance, approval from the Township Fire Marshal, you know, we will obtain that approval. And then, you know, for any dead trees that are found on site or any gaps that are found on site, we can provide some of the trees that we are proposing in those specific locations and tree replacements for any of the dead trees that are out there.
The applicant is willing to work with Mr. Hinterstein on both trees to be removed and infill trees, as mentioned in his report.
Do you have anything more for Mr. Thomas, Mr. Glacio?
No, I just wanted to address something that Mr. Hinterstein had put in his prior staff report letter. It was a question about had the applicant obtained variances in connection with the lack of fencing around the dry detention basins? And the answer is yes. And that I was part of, still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can hear you.
That was part of the variances granted in application 13ZB27/28V.
Thank you. Appreciate you providing that, Sandy.
No problem. And that's our direct testimony for Mr. Thomas. If the board or the professionals have any questions, and if you want to open it up to the public, we're ready for that.
Oh, okay. Henry, do you have any other questions or concerns?
No, I think the applicant has done a good job of coming back to us with a revised proposal after, I think, hearing some of our concerns that we had originally. I think this is a much better option. The removals on the vegetation that exists there currently is much more limited now to what previously was proposed. So I think this is a much better proposal. Again, the applicant's willing to work with us and work with me specifically on just pointing out maybe some gaps that need some infilling, some dead material that needs some replacing, and some dead ash trees that have not survived the several problems that they've had recently. So all that being said, I definitely think this is a much more favorable proposal, or revised proposal, and I don't see any issues with it.
Thank you, Henry. Anyone on the board have any questions, concerns, or comments? Hearing none, I would like to open this to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions, concerns, or comments they'd like to say at this time?
At this point, Mr. Thomas, can you take your screen down?
Yes.
Laura, do you see any hands up?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, I'd like to close the public portion. I'd like to make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
You need some testimony from Mr. McDonough, I believe.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but
that's okay.
Jump the gun.
Yeah, I'd like to present our next witness, Mr. John McDonough, provide planning testimony in support of the variances.
Yeah. Mr. McDonough, can you?
I would suggest this is the second hearing. We're fully aware of all the facts, so it might be able to be concise on this testimony.
Mr. McDonough, sure. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. McDonough, you've had a chance to visit the site and review the plans that were submitted by the applicant?
Yes, I have.
And you have prepared testimony in support of the variances sought by the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Can you present that testimony to the board, please, sir?
Sure. I can be extremely brief here. I think Mr. Thomas was extremely thorough in the presentation and establishing the predicate for the relief the applicant is seeking. We're here in the ER Education and Research District, where the existing use is a permitted use. That's the Colgate facility and the research center that's there. This is a support use, which is also a permitted conditional use in the zone, subject to conditions at 21-1014. The application is in substantial compliance with those conditional use requirements, but does need some relief. And I would like to—
Mr. McDonough, let me just interrupt you for a second. I think I've neglected to get your qualifications as an expert for the board. Can you just, let me correct that. You've appeared before this board before as an expert in planning testimony?
Yes, I'm a licensed planner. I've been here before. It's current good standing, local, state level, national level. I'm also a landscape architect as well in New Jersey.
And your credentials have not changed since the last time you were accepted as an expert here?
That's correct.
I think he can be accepted.
Thank you. So again, relatively brief, because the relief that the applicant is seeking is relatively brief. D3 conditional use relief to allow solar array height of 28 feet, where 10 is the maximum that's allowed, and the location in the front yard. The justification there is this is basically completing the circle of what's already been done out there. You've heard sort of a phased installation here, and much of that has already been put in. So this is continuing the theme if you will, that will help offset the energy consumption needs of the Colgate facility. It's going to take a good use. It's going to make it better. I would also like to thank the board professionals, Mr. Chadwick and Mr. Hinterstein, who took what is really a good application and made it even better with their input last time, such that this use can effectuate its purpose and also have better integration with the surrounding neighborhood. In terms of that D3 conditional use relief, I think we well know the use per se is not issue, but we focus on the conditions, which are intended to prevent negative visual impact. Based on all of the testimony on the record, the impacts here visually are going to be minimal. This is a well-buffered site separated horizontally and vertically from the neighboring land uses. On the positive side, the project is going to support a permitted use that serves the healthcare industry. We know that the photovoltaic aspect is of such paramount public importance that the MLUL defines it as inherently beneficial. As I said, it's a continuation of a phased development that's already in place. Use promotes the public good with environmental sustainability and renewable energy. The arrays are low profile. They blend and integrate with the surrounding landscape and no tree loss. The project will promote core planning purposes of zoning, especially purposes A, C, D, G, H, I, M, and N, with a underline or a double underline under purpose N, which is right on point, which is the planning goal to promote renewable energy resources. Based on all the testimony on the record, the plans have evolved as part of an interactive process, which is exactly what our courts envision. The plans have been revised to completely preserve those trees, the buffer area adjacent to those homes to the south. The planning intent behind those height and location conditions minimize visual impact are met. And again, the relief that's being sought here is very similar to the relief that was granted for the installation that's already in place. That goes towards the D3, the C2 relief, the lesser C variances all fold into the D as well as necessary to effectuate the beneficial aspects that I just gave you. No substantially negative impact with covering a parking lot. Other parking lots on the site are already covered. And again, the height relief relates to, for the accessory structure, also relates to the D3 conditional use relief, that there is a substantial separation between these structures and the neighboring residential uses. All said, it's a good application. It's gotten better since the last time we were here. Most importantly, the statutory criteria for D3 and C relief are met and approval is warranted. That's all I have on direct.
Thank you. John Chadwick.
Mr. McDonough, you've seen the report from Mr. Chadwick.
Yes, no issues with Mr. Chadwick's report.
Thank you. That's all for this witness, Mr. Weissman, and the board or the professionals and the public have any questions, we're ready for that.
And do you have any additional witnesses?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, John, do you have any other comments at this time? John Chadwick?
No.
Thank you. Again, back to the board. Anyone on the board have any questions or concerns, any comments at this time? Hearing none, I'd like to close the board's portion, open it up to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions, comments, or concerns at this time? Ms. Buckley, any hands up?
No, and Mr. Weissman.
Thank you. I'd like to close the public portion at this time, and I'd like to make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
Make a second.
Thank you, Artie. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yeah.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mudaka?
Yeah.
Mr. Mitterrando?
No.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Vice Chairman Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Glacio, we'll memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank the board and its professionals for their always considerate review of these applications. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
I'd like to move on to the next item on the agenda. Item 17, adjournment. Can I get a motion? All those in favor? Thank you. Have a wonderful evening. Have a great July 4th.
Happy 4th.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Good night,
everyone. Good night, all.
Bye.